Barista 27 are our sponsors at the moment, and it's got me thinking, why 27? Just seems strange.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Sean, because I've done some research into this, and there are only a few answers that make sense.
I'm listening.
Well, I can only assume that the owner is a huge Mikel Tavares fan, Sydney FC's famous number 27.
So you're suggesting this is former guest and sometimes Capo Addison's business?
maybe. Or they could be a massive Super David Carney fan. 27 goals for Sydney FC.
No. I think Dave prefers a beer as his weapon of choice these days.
All right, okay. If you're not going to settle for any of those, I've got it. 27 appearances, Kofi Danning. They love Kofi Danning.
I mean, who doesn't love Kofi? Who doesn't even love coffee? Get on to barista27.com.au or via the Instagram barista27 coffee and get your discount coffee now. Any 500 gram bag using the code CLANK20, that's CLANK, CLANK20 will get you 20% off.
It is Sky Blue Stories coming back this week for another podcast. And it's so great to have Barista 27 as our sponsors, Sean. They're doing great work. Thanks to everyone out there in Sky Blue Stories land that's gotten behind our sponsor and helped us get along. Couple of other 27 references, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight York made 27 appearances for Sydney FC.
Not enough.
And the famous Luca Glavas played 27 minutes for the club. So any of these 27 options, they're definitely up there, I think, as to why Barista 27 gets its name.
And do we have another patron or Patreon?
We do. We've got another patron to thank, and it's Mr. Chris Howell. So thank you so much to Chris, who joined up as a patron last week. Obviously, the temptation of, you know.
A good friend of ours has taken, what, a year and a half? How long have we had Patreon? And he's only joining now. And he's picking up on the hill and he's Mossman Cremorne, Northern Beaches mansion, rubbing shoulders with Danny Townsend, and he's only just joined us now. All right,
He does listen to us in his bathtub, but we thank him nonetheless. I think he feels like he's probably paying for our friendship. So, you know, I'm sure there's a few other friends out there that need to join up and step up to the plate, Sean.
Andrew,
someone's got to get out there. But no, thank you very much to all of our patrons again for sticking around and helping us, helping us bring this podcast to you guys. Sean, there's a fair bit happening in Sydney FC land around the last fortnight. And earlier on tonight, we had a really great, really fun chat with Alex Baumjohann, who joined us over Zoom. Just a wonderful guy. And, we're hoping he signs with a club soon so we can sort of sort out his immediate future.
Absolutely. Decent bloke, great sense of humour, nice guy, love the chat with him. But speaking of Sydney FC and all things Sky Blue, it's never a dull moment in the land of Sky Blue. This club never sleeps. We came across the article, of course, they posted the other day. It was all those road to recovery. And really glad to see this bloke back in action, back training regularly, not off to the side with the physio and the conditioning coaches and whatever. So be interesting to see what happens, because essentially now we've got three blokes for the one position, and it's great to have depth, don't get me wrong, but Joel King has that spot cemented. And then of course you've got Connor O'Toole and you've got Zulo. Do I read into it, Jono, and think that one of them's going? Or like maybe King might next transfer?
It's interesting. It's something that we've discussed on here, I think, before, Sean. And yeah, look, if there's nothing better than a fully fit Michael Zulo. I mean, any other club in the league would absolutely, be crawling over coals for a fully fit Michael Zulo. So it'd be very interesting. I think he's still got a little bit to go until he's back to that fitness and obviously the match fitness. So it'd be great to see him back and obviously force some tough decisions for Bimby.
Yeah, because he did have his calf issue, and without going into great detail, because I do want to keep a little bit of confidentiality, but it was a biological thing of sorts that was hampering.
Recurring. It was a recurring thing that kept coming back, yeah.
Yeah, blood issue thing that was really hampering and slowing down his calf recovery, which would take you and I or the average Joe, you know, maybe a few months to get over, not, you know, what, a season and a half, or God knows what it's been now. So good to see Zul's back in action. Speaking of action.
Definitely.
Congratulations, Ryan Grant. Great start with the 3-0 win over China. And when you listen to this pod, I'm hoping that he gets another start against the might of Southeast Asia in Vietnam. Mm. So well done to Ryan.
Absolutely. And also former Sky Blue Ryan McGowan in that squad as well, doing his bit. I saw him doing his bit on the training pitch today. I think they're doing drop goals from 60 metres or something.
So. Well, it's the rugby league semi-finals and all that kicking off, so maybe they were channeling one of the Roosters out there.
Poor Ryan Grant, he thought he got rid of Gowser from the training pitch, but he's still there annoying him.
Massive congratulations. I know it's been a little while since he's been with us and another club can claim him as their own, I guess, but... Cammy Devlin, and he's moved to Scotland's second best club behind Celtic. Second best club behind
second Scotland best club, definitely
in Hearts. So well done to move to the Scottish Premier League.
They might be loosely. They could be third best, Sean. You're forgetting Hibs.
Oh, Hibs, of course. Yeah, maybe fourth behind Hamilton Academics, or you know.
True. Yankees. Cammy Devlin, that's massive, and I really think he'll get quite a bit of game time at Hearts. Great to see another Sydney FC graduate kicking goals, Sean. I see what you did there. Speaking of Sydney FC graduates, and another left back, Sean, Alex Gersbach. One of your favourite Sky Blues of all time has found a new home.
Yeah, where he'll bring home the bacon, hopefully.
The Hannah bacon.
Yeah, the Hannah bacon. So
nice. I see.
And good on for Alex. Like, you know, he's a talented footballer. Other players, they have a go overseas. They get cut or whatever, or things just don't quite work out. They end up back in the A-League. So good on him.
Grenoble, is that right, Sean?
That's it in France. So it'd be interesting to see. I think Hannah might still be in Denmark or wherever. So who knows? They'll move. But good on them for good on him for continuing his career in Europe.
Yeah, I really hope that he gets some regular starts, Sean. He's played in Ligue 2 before for Lens a few years ago, and obviously, you know, with some knowledge of the league, Grenoble's sort of gone, yeah, we'll give him a shot. But, yeah, I just hope he's not third choice and, you know, sort of struggles to make the bench and that sort of thing. He just really needs some first-team football, a little bit like Daniel Arzani, you know.
He's still quite young, Alex.
Yeah, he is, definitely. But he's such a talented footballer and like we said, you know, one of our favourites on Sky Blue Stories. So, yeah, really, really hoping that Alex, gets some starts at Grenoble.
And Alana Kennedy signing for Man City in the Women's English League for 2 years. Interesting how she was used at Tottenham previously, and often more of like a defensive midfield role. I think she performed very admirably during the Matildas' time in recent games. At the Olympics, that's right. So I was trying to think, what tournament were they in? No, World Cup? No, Olympics, yeah. She was one of their better players over those. She didn't play the first game, and then she played the last four or however many they had. But so congrats to Alana for getting
against Great Britain, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's off to Man City, as well as Hayley Rasso. And Kaya Simon, another former Sky Blue, has gone to Tottenham. So yes. Tottenham not losing all their Aussies. Good to see the former W League girls just absolutely lining up for nearly every club in the FWSL. So yeah, it's really good to see.
And John, this is something you love all things APL.
I do. I love all things Danny Townsend.
And Dan Townsend, they're doing some wonderful pathways and work and whatnot, putting some strategies in place ahead of the 2023 World Cup. So probably something that's really, you know, tickling people's fancy is the three teams expansion. So what are we expecting those three teams to be?
Yeah, so the three teams they've said will be the Central Coast Mariners,
which has been previously in the A letter.
Western United have claimed a team.
Yeah,
and the team that thought they were going to get a run last season, the Wellington Phoenix, Sean. So there's rumours that the Knicks could come in this season, which logistically might still be a challenge. And then obviously next year for the Mariners to finally get their return, they've been fighting for years to get back into the W League, really big advocates of the women's game. And then Western United, who stated in their inaugural year that their ambition was to have a W League side as soon as possible. And again, they've got a sort of an associate side running around in the NPL Victoria. So great to see. The only real shock, I guess, out of that is that, you know, we haven't seen MacArthur included in that. Yeah. But really, really good to see. Really good.
Well, there's a couple of missing pieces of the puzzle. You've got the MacArthur on the W League side, and then you've got the Canberra United on the A League side, which I'll get to my thoughts on Canberra United in a moment when we talk about the club championship. But got an final series starting this year. You love a CBA, yep. Jonathan. You love a collective bargaining agreement. you love a CBA. To improve the employment and performance standards. The club championship. So the trophy will be awarded based on combined results of the men's and women's football. So you've got to expect then, Jono, Canberra United to come in for the men's.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's made sense for a while, hasn't it, Sean?
How can we have a combined club championship if men's and women's?
I don't know about this one, Sean. What are your thoughts on the club championship trophy? What are your thoughts on that?
It's nice. It's not, it'll probably take a number of years for it to have the kind of prestige about it. Maybe it's a little bit tokenistic at the moment. Anybody loves to win silverware, and then to really claim themselves as the best club in the league because both women's and men's are being successful and getting the most club championship points.
I think it's nice. I don't know. It doesn't really excite me. I don't know. I mean, is it going to add any incentive for the players? Surely they're already incentivized enough to win their comps. I guess it's about togetherness and, trying to maybe you find yourself in a situation where, the W League team's done really well, the A League team hasn't, but they still need to win their last game of the season to sort of get the club championship. Yeah. I don't know, but it'd be interesting to see how it plays out.
I think it's more of a benefit for the women's league to kind of pull them up and draw them in line with the men's to show that, what we've got on the women's side of the thing is as exciting and as, something to be watched as much as the men. So I think more will come out of it for the women than the men's side.
Speaking of exciting and speaking of the women, Sean, we got a bit of a sneak peek of the new Sydney FC kids, which Ali Green and Angie Christodoulou were at the Under Armour launch yesterday. So that would have been Monday. We know that FIFA is actually pretty famous for leaking club kits before clubs do, but I think that comes out 1st of October or thereabouts, which is about 3 or 4 weeks away. So the kit is coming. I think Danny Townsend on Twitter has also said it's very, very close. So if they're doing player shoots in the jersey, we must be getting close.
You reckon some of us, the fans, the members, will be a bit disappointed that Under Armour are back because people weren't.
Yeah, there's been a bit of that, hasn't there? I think a lot of people are longing for the Adidas days. because those were, you know, some of our best jerseys. But yeah, I think the other thing with Under Armour pulling out of football, you know, across the majority of the world. Yeah, but look, I'm hoping for a really nice jersey. I need a new one, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next season, because I believe Under Armour are still signed on for next season as well. So yeah, a bit of mixed feedback, but we'll see. We'll see very soon.
We'll get Adrian Bazzano on top of it.
We will. Bonoza. That's Bonoza, right.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, bit of transfer departures news. Let's get across it. Six stars are back. One of them in particular I'm most excited about, but Mackenzie Hawksby, she's back in action there in the middle third. Fantastic for us last year. I think she was a bit of an unsung hero. Charlie Orr, the youngster, she's back. Rachel Lowe, fantastic, the youngster. Taylor Ray, be interesting to see how she's used, if she's going to be the new kind of Teresa 2.0.
Teresa, surely, yeah.
And they've got the height thing going.
No pressure.
And one I'm most, and we've got Angie back as well, but Natasha Pryor is probably, of those names, really caught my eye.
Really key, Sean. Yeah. I think you and I have spoken about the need for, you know, an out-and-out defensive, you know, spearhead, and Natasha Pryor is certainly that. She joined the girls sort of halfway through the season last year and was outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. You know, you really feel like if she had played the full season, you know, she'd definitely be up there in the awards. I just thought she was fantastic.
And we have a couple of new kids on the block, literally kids, so youngsters.
We do, yeah. Yes. A couple of 16-year-olds.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sarah Hunter and Jessica Nash. You could probably see.
Yeah, so Sarah Hunter, a former Sky Blue member, and her family's Sydney FC aligned, which is always nice to see. And, you know, as every year goes by, Sean, of the A-League and the W-League, we're starting to hear these stories more and more about players that grew up with the A-League and the W-League, you know. And, you know, you got Joel King, and who grew up, you know, in the Cove, and those sort of stories, which are great to see. So Sarah Hunter played in the midfield for the Wanderers last year and actually played very, very admirably. And Jessica Nash, who's a defender coming up from Canberra United and won their Young Player of the Year. So Ante is creating some nice depth there. We've sent Alira Toby the other way to Canberra.
Yes, she's I alluded to the last two or three pods that were on that she wasn't coming back.
Yeah, but just yesterday on Monday evening, Sean, the club announced what I think is probably the most exciting W League signing for a number of years.
You got to pronounce the name correctly, Jonathan. Go for it, Michelle.
Oh, right. Well, you know, with thanks to our Chilean friend, Michelle Morris TV, Maria Jose Rojas has joined Sydney from Adelaide United, and affectionately known as Cote Rojas. And this girl, to borrow a term from Texie Smith's Sydney FC books, this girl can play, Sean. 33 years old, bringing plenty of experience. She is thought of in Chile as, you know, basically their icon for women's, not only for women's football, but for football. So, you know, she's their Maradona, she's their Messi. You know? And if you see not only the clips that Sydney FC have put up, but if you YouTube Maria's clips, she has some of the best close control that I've ever seen, male or female. She's incredible. Her touch is amazing. She's probably Adelaide deployed her in midfield as well as up front, but I think you're going to see her again being that link between the midfield and Remy Simpson up front and Princess up front. It'll be very interesting to see how Ante Juric deploys her, but just sensational news, Sean. Sensational news.
Well, I've got this to say to her.
Bienvenidos.
Ooh,
Bienvenidos.
That means welcome in Spanish.
Bienvenidos.
Look, it was...
Caliente. Very good.
Yeah, a good one, Jonna. it's interesting, like, before last season, he signed very forward-heavy players. You know, you've got Satchel now and you've got our Chilean import and whatnot. I think she'll take the place of Claire Wheeler. I think he'll use her like a number 10.
Yeah,
Satchel coming off the bench, because nothing's going to displace that front three of Princess, Courtney or Remy unless they're injured or suspended.
Yeah, true. Actually, yeah, you could be right there, Sean. But like I've said,
I reckon.
Yeah, but I mean, you add her into a midfield with Taylor Ray and Mackenzie Hawksby. I mean, I think we've upgraded there in a way, like for the squad. Like it's a huge upgrade to the squad. Yeah. No offense to former players, but she's a genuine star and someone that. You know, the fans will love to go out and see and to represent Sydney FC. So, again, just great to see the club investing in the W League squad. Fell at the, you can't even say last hurdle in the grand final. Fell seconds short, you know, of a potential grand final victory at Kogra. And I'm really liking how we've put this squad together.
Yeah, I think we'll do very well come next season. I think there's a nice mix of experience and youth, and you've certainly got the overwhelmingly core of that team. I could probably guess now who's going to be the starting 11, but I might wait a couple of weeks to unveil that.
Yeah.
So,
very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's look. That's it from us, Sean, for the start of the pod, I think. So we might hand it over to the Alex. Johan interview. Thanks for everyone for getting in touch on all of the social platforms and submitting your questions. We tried to ask as many as we could. Alex actually was so good; he sort of answered quite a few of them in his answers. So enjoy our chat with former Sky Blue now Alex Baumjohan, former European Champions League semi finalist. It's hard to believe that we had him in our team. So. Enjoy. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you all very, very soon. Today's guest on Sky Blue Stories was a member of the last two campaigns for Sydney FC and took home the double in the 1920 season when Sydney FC raised their fifth A-League championship at Bankwest Stadium. And as our guest will remind us, we're the first and only club in Sydney to do so. Yes, before he provided a sublime assist to Costa Barbarousis for the opening goal in last year's A-League Grand Final, he played for some of the giants of German football, including starting in a European Champions League semi-final for Schalke and sharing the pitch at Allianz Arena for Bayern Munich, arguably during their golden era of stars. It's a huge willkommen to Alex Baumjohan.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for joining us, my friend. How is lockdown treating you first, Alex? That's probably the most important question.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough times for everyone, but I think it's not in our hands, right? So we can just try to make the best out of it. And to be honest, I'm really enjoying it at the moment to spend as much time as I can with my family. My kids are homeschooling. And since I started my professional career, I never had so much free time for my family. So I'm really enjoying it.
Wonderful. And you've got a decent backyard in Barangaroo and Sydney Harbour to walk around on the nice days. You've been getting out and about when you can.
Yeah, I mean, we try to get out once a day for a walk or for a ride on the bike because I think it's important to get a little bit out of the house, working out, exercising, and trying to stay fit also.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the first question, we've been asked a lot of questions, Alex, but the question on everyone's lips is, what's the current, situation with yourself and your next potential move? Have you been in discussions with any A-League clubs, or are you sort of just waiting for the borders to open a bit and heading overseas? What's the current situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation. Like I said, especially now during this pandemic, it's not easy to make the right decision. I mean, I'm 3 years now here in Sydney, 3 years in Australia, and I really enjoyed my time. I think especially the last 2 years were very successful. We won the league, we won the grand final. Last year, unfortunately, we just became second. But yeah, I think it was a quite successful time here in Australia, and I'm speaking at the moment with some clubs overseas. Okay. But yeah, there's lots of uncertainties because of the vaccine. I mean, I just could get my first vaccine 1.5 weeks ago. Okay. And the second one is booked in for October. Hopefully I can get the second one soon, which then will I think get more options for me to sign somewhere. But yeah, still not decided. I mean, some things came up, but for now, not the perfect.
Still a free agent. Still a free agent.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Well, take us back, Alex, for all our listeners and fans. Where did your love of football all begin? Where did it all start as a young kid? Was it like a father or, did you try hand at a few sports and realise that football was the one for you?
No, in Germany, football is sports number one. I mean, when I was born in 1987, and at this time there were no PlayStation, no iPads, no internet. So all the kids just went out after school or after kindergarten and played football. So my mom at the time took me to my hometown club when I was 4 years old or 3 years old. And yeah, since then I'm just playing football every day. And yeah, it wasn't hard for me to decide playing football. And I always dreamed of being a professional, and thank God things worked out quite well.
Well, you would have had so many footballing role models growing up as a kid. You know, we're of a similar age, and, you know, for me growing up watching Jürgen Klinsmann play, so you would have had plenty of people to aspire to be like. But before we talk about your time in Sky Blue, we want to test your football memory just a little bit. You played in a Champions League semi-final with Schalke where 99.9% of us will never know what that's like. Can you paint a picture for us what that was like, what that campaign was like being during that time?
Yeah, I think it was the season 2011-2012. In the league, in the Bundesliga, we didn't perform very well. I think at the end of the season, we became 13th or 14th. So was not really what we wanted to achieve, but yeah, we won the German Cup in this year and also made it to the semi-finals of the Champions League, which is probably, after winning the UEFA Cup 1997, the second most successful thing that Schalke ever achieved on international football. So it was really crazy. I mean, in the quarterfinals we beat Inter Milan, which won the Champions League the year before with Mourinho. We won 5-2 at San Siro, 1-2-1 at home. So that was really crazy times. And I had the luck to play alongside such amazing players like Manuel Neuer and Raul. This is something I will look back forever.
That you just mentioned two of them, Alex, but that Schalke team, I mean, apart from those two you just mentioned, you know, Klaas Jan Huntelaar, Joel Matip, who's now at Liverpool, Fafan, Ivan Rakitic, you know, some incredible players there. Was that for you? Was that just really fun? Was that just fun for you?
Yeah, sure. Especially most of the players that you just mentioned, Julian Draxler is another one.
Yep.
Are all players that came through the academy of Schalke, right, which is probably one of the best academies in world football. And I must say, Schalke for me is probably the club I have most sympathy for. I mean, I played 10 years for this club. I joined them when I was 12. I signed my first professional contract when I was 16. So that was really, really fun. And it's even harder for me at the moment to see that the club is struggling, got relegated last year, playing in the second Bundesliga now, something that like I thought would never be possible. I mean, 3 years ago, they still played Champions League, and now being in the second division, it's something that really hurts me. But yeah, hopefully there will be better times soon.
They might need your help, Alex.
Yeah, go back and get them back up there for promotion.
Yeah, I mean, I left Germany 2017 for a reason. I mean, after playing 13 or 14 years professional football in Germany, I wanted to do something new, and I left Germany to get some new experiences with playing in Brazil and playing in Australia. And I never really thought to go back to Germany, even if there were some opportunities in the last years. But I never really thought about it, and I always said the only club I would probably play for in Germany would be Schalke. But yeah, again, I mean, I'm 34 now in Germany. This is an age, which is
makes
it harder, and is probably not really possible at the moment. I mean, I was in contact with them 7 or 8 months ago because Gerald Asamoah, a good friend of mine, who is now in a position as a team manager there, he asked me last winter in January if I could imagine to sign for 6 months. But at the time, I really never thought about it because the season just started with Sydney, and I also didn't want to let my team down in leaving.
Thank you.
Well, I've already mentioned some like elite footballing German names, but like speaking of even more quality players, Alex, he had a brief stint at Bayern along some of the giants of German football: Müller, Basti, Robin, Gomez, Van Bommel, Lahm, Klose. Like, these guys are just on another level. Bayern's glory days. You got to share a pitch with them and a training ground. Did you ever just like look around and like pinch yourself and go, look at these blokes that I'm sharing a pitch in a changing room with?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as a kid, I always dreamed to play on the highest level. At Schalke at the time, when I broke through, there were lots of big players already. Schalke at the time, 2004, 2003, 2005, and when I had my first steps in the first team, and were probably so close to Bayern like no other club ever was. I mean, they almost made it to win the Bundesliga at the time and played Champions League every year. So there were some big players already playing alongside me. You know, I had the luck to play alongside then. And then after at Bayern, it all became even more crazy. I mean, that was even another level after me playing a very good season at Borussia Mönchengladbach, and then signing with Bayern and playing with all those players under a coach like Louis van Gaal, who is one of the most successful coaches in the world, was something crazy. And looking back now, I mean, there's not many regrets I have in football, but I think if there's one thing that I could change, is probably staying a little bit longer at Bayern and having more patient. I mean, I left Bayern after 6 months. I had a 4-year contract. I just wanted to play as much as I can, and I thought my chances there under this coach who didn't sign me, the chances would be very low. So I decided to leave very soon. But yeah, 1 year after I left, Jupp Heynckes signed again with Bayern, who is one of probably the most important person for me in football, like a father figure. I mean, he gave me my first professional contract, and since then we are always in contact, always in touch, and he gave me so much and so many advices during my career. And I'm pretty sure that with him as a coach, I would have had more chances.
Well, that's a really good insight. Thanks for sharing that, Alex. One special moment that you did have with Bayern was a pre-season tournament, the Audi Cup. I'm not sure how much you remember about that one, but I think there was two games in 2 days, but the final you actually played against Manchester United, which was a bit of a preview for you for the semi-final of the Champions League. But Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United, you know, Giggs, Rooney, Evra, Scholes, and you actually scored a penalty in the shootout to win that tournament. What do you remember of that? What do you remember of that game?
Yeah, that was the first game for me at Allianz Arena in the Bayern shirt. I think in the semis we played against AC Milan, played against players like Ronaldinho, Pato, Pirlo, Seedorf, Gattuso, so Nesta. All those big players, and then playing the final against United and scoring a penalty and winning that, that was the highlight of the preseason, and was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, we've taken you down memory lane a bit there, but of all of those, and we've talked about a few of them, but what is your greatest footballing highlight so far, Alex? What's your best moment in football, you think?
I still would say, many people ask me this question, I won some titles and I played in some big games, but I would still say the moment I will always remember is when my under 17 coach at the time in 2003, when I was just 16, called me and said that Jupp Heynckes, the first team coach of Schalke, wants to see me to train with the first team. And I just remember that. I couldn't sleep the whole night. I stayed awake. I didn't sleep 1 minute. And then the next day I had the chance to just train with the first team. After the training session, it was so much fun. And after the training session, we had a lunch and then everyone just left. And I just went to the assistant coach and asked him if I can come tomorrow again. And he just said, no, from now on, you will come every day. And wow. One week later, I signed my first professional deal. And that was probably the most amazing moment in my career. Mm-hmm.
And you impressed them so much, you didn't even sleep. Imagine if you had a good night's sleep, how much you impressed them.
maybe even more. But this was like something I always dreamed about. And I was always looking forward that this would happen one day. But at the time, almost 20 years ago, it wasn't common that young players at age 16, 17, 18 would already be a part of the first team now. And this is normal. Every club or every team has young players at this age. But at the time, it was something really abnormal. So I was really happy and couldn't really believe it. But this is the moment I will always remember most. And I would probably say the best moment in my football career.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Alex, we want to talk, we'll move talking towards Sydney now. Obviously, Sky Blue Stories for a reason. But the story that we've heard, and I'm not sure if it's 100% true, but at this point, we usually ask our guests, what is your Sky Blue story? How did you come to sign for Sydney? So the story going around is that you and Tati and the girls were almost, out of the country sort of thing before Steve Corica got in touch and said he'd love to sign you. Is there truth to that?
Yeah. My first year in Sydney wasn't, didn't work as well as I
talk about that.
As I expected. And after my first season, I was looking for new opportunities and new options. And I was talking with some clubs in Asia, and I was very close to agree terms with a club, and I think that was end of May or end of June 2019. And we already quit our contract for our apartment. We took the kids out of school already. My kids, they did farewell parties with their friends and stuff, and we packed and everything was sorted out. And then 1 week before, I mean, the tickets were booked because my visa expired.
Yeah, wow.
One week before, Terry McFlynn got in touch with me. He already was in touch with me before I came to Australia and when I was still playing in Germany. And during my time in Australia, we also always kept contact because he's just a great guy.
He's a good man.
And he just asked me if I'm still in Sydney and if I could imagine to play for Sydney FC. And I said, look, I'm almost signing with someone else. We have to meet as soon as possible then. I would love to speak with the coach. And then the next day, we arranged a meeting. Steve Corica and Terry, they came to my place and we had a meeting for 3-4 hours. And after that, I just said, yeah, let's make it happen. And I want to play for Sydney FC. And the rest then happened really quick. And this is how I ended up at the club.
Fantastic. And probably thinking about the timeline, probably one of Terry's last signings for Sydney before he went to Perth. So we're very fortunate. And T-Mac has, T-Mac's moved into administrative role and he's done so well. You know, he's a club legend for many, many reasons, both on and off the pitch. So that's something that, I definitely wasn't aware of, Sean. So.
Yeah, well, my question next, Alex, is, and I think I know the answer to this, but what do you enjoy winning more, the Big Blue or the Derby?
Yeah, the problem is I just won one Derby, and Big Blue, I think I won all of them. For Sydney. At the end of the day, just 3 points. I think in both years, not one of the two clubs that you just mentioned qualified for the playoffs, and we just played them in the regular season. So both were good, always good games against both teams. And I wish I would have won more derbies. But at the end of the day, I rather take trophies over derby wins.
Well, what do you reckon was your best performance for Sydney? When I think back, I remember the two games last season against Adelaide and Melbourne City at Leichhardt. I thought you were absolutely brilliant, those two games. And then I think it was the previous season against Western United. Milos was injured, maybe suspended, but injured, and you took control of that number 10 role. I thought you were just sublime there against Western United down in Geelong. But is there a game that stands out for you where you're like, you walked off the pitch and you said, and you think to yourself, I absolutely bossed it. You were just brilliant.
Probably one where I didn't walk off the pitch how I wanted to against Melbourne Victory when I got the red card in the last minute. But I think that was probably one of my best games. I scored my first goal in Sky Blue and I think two more assists. So that was probably one of the best games. And also at Amy Park was packed. The atmosphere was great. That was I think a quite good game.
Well, that game against Melbourne with Lee Wroxham, did you have any words for him as you were walking off the pitch? Did you any parting words for him?
Nah. I mean, at the end of the day, when you get a red card, you don't need to speak much anymore because the decision was made. I mean, for me, it still wasn't a red card. And but at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason. And unfortunately, the week after or some days after, my mom passed away and I could use the time and go back to Germany and see my family.
Mm. Now, for those, you're an out-and-out number 10. You're a smart midfielder, attacking midfielder, and I think it's a role that's not been, you don't see much in formations these days. You see like a real rotating midfield. You see three strikers up front or whatever. For those young boys and girls who aspire to be an attacking midfielder, an out-and-out number 10, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they call it at Sydney two number 10s, but at the end of the day, I think we are, me and Ninko, we played more wingers. I mean, for me, a proper number 10 is if you play central by yourself and behind a striker, behind two strikers. So the role at Sydney was something also new for me, and it took a while at the beginning also to get used to it, because it's totally different to what I played before. And as you said, this proper number 10 attacking midfielder position is a little bit dying in football. There's not many clubs anymore that play with a player of my characteristics in this position. And it's a shame a bit, because there were lots of big players, proper number 10s like Maradona, even Ronaldinho, Zidane. I think it was lots of fun to see those players play. It gets more into, everyone needs to defend, everyone needs to run all the time. And even players in these creative roles have to do all the other stuff more than what they should normally do.
So I think the number 10, like, they're the brains of the team. They're the halfback, you know, they're playing between lines, they're linking with their number 9, they're playing those passes to, you know, in between defenders. So it's a dying art, that number 10 role, and I think it was one that wasn't utilized to its full potential, especially with your characteristics at Sydney though. But look, moving on, we've got a whole bunch of questions now from our listeners and our fans. We've sent out, posted it to the Twitter sphere and Instagram and Facebook. Really excited to have you on. So we've got a list of questions that we're going to send you away from our fans and listeners now.
All right.
Definitely. And that was actually, that question about the number 10 was actually one from Ardo as well, Sean. So Alex, I might appropriate the question a little bit more. When you had your meeting with Steve and Terry, and, you know, did Steve explain that that's the sort of role that he wanted you to play? Or were you sort of coming thinking, you know, I might actually get a chance to, you know, play in the 10 role behind Alfie and you know, that sort of thing?
No, I mean, I knew which system Sydney was playing. Okay. And they just won the grand final. So there was no need to change anything in the system. And the years before with Graham Arnold, they also played the same system. We were quite successful. So I knew I have to adopt myself into this role. And even if it's not my favorite position, I think it worked out quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it did. Another one from Ardo was, and this question, there was a few questions along this line. He says, you obviously liked playing for us more than Western Sydney Wanderers, but what is the main reason for that?
I think the main reason is that I wanted to win trophies. Before I said this 100 times, and I said this when I joined Sydney in my first interview. I mean, before I came to Australia, I didn't know much about Australian football. I mean, the A-League got more famous in Germany because of Thomas Broich, because he was very successful at Brisbane. When the coach of Western Sydney spoke with me for the first time, he told me some things that weren't the truth. Once I signed and I arrived in Australia, and I could see very quick that Sydney FC is probably or is the biggest club in Australia. And I think the biggest reason is that at Sydney FC I aim to win more trophies.
Yeah, absolutely. Did the romance of it being a Marcus Babbel, you know, obviously speaking the same language sort of thing, was that something that, you know, I guess helped you get over the line a bit when he was asking you to come?
No, not really. I mean, I think in Germany, everyone learns English at school. I think my English is getting better now after spending more time here. But even at the beginning, My English was all right. So I played for a lot of clubs during my career, and I never had any problems to adapt myself somewhere. So I was just looking forward to something new. And I mean, Markus Babbel, he knew me from my time in Germany. He trained three clubs in Germany in the Bundesliga, and he back then tried to sign me for some of those clubs. So we already had contact before, and just signed because I wanted this experience, and I thought it was would be something good, but he wasn't the main reason of that.
No, okay. Yeah, and look, you know, without any bias whatsoever, you were very clearly the best player in that team for that season. It was, you know, I remember you cutting a very distraught figure one game, but you could clearly see that, you know, your level was just above both the system, but both the, you know, the players in that side. So when you when it was announced that you'd signed for Sydney FC, I think every fan was just was so happy that that we'd taken, you know, they had a terrible season, and then we took their best player, you know. So it was very good for the banter front for all Sydney FC fans. Talking, looking into the future. This is the last one from Ardo that he's asked. And we're talking years away, Alex, because you've got many good years ahead of you in football. But when you finish that side, the playing side, do you think that you'll stay in football? Like, would you be interested in coaching, or you know, have you got your mind on something else?
Yeah, as you said, I mean, I'm 34 now, and especially here in Australia, I think if I keep playing in the A-League, I can probably play 3-4 more years. I mean, you can see the best players of the competition are probably over 35 with Ninko and Diego Castro. So I think if I stay healthy and if I stay fit, there are some more years ahead of me. But the plan is wherever I go, if I sign somewhere overseas or in another city in Australia, the plan is to come back one day to Sydney, and we want to live here. I am applied for my permanent resident.
Brilliant. Fantastic.
Yeah, so whatever happens after, I mean, it's still so far away, and I think once it gets to this point, to getting closer for ending my career, some doors will open. Yes. But I mean, I have other things that I'm looking for apart from football. But I mean, to be honest, and I'm playing football now for such a long time, and I'm an expert in football after being around the world and playing professional for such a long time. So I think there will be some good opportunities also in football. And I think here in Australia, there's so much space to improve football. And if I could be a part of that and help to develop the Australian football, and especially the youth development system, I think that would be something that would be very good.
Fantastic. Now, Alex, you grew up as a Dortmund fan, and they're probably my favourite team when it comes to the Bundesliga. You know, who doesn't love Erling Haaland at the moment? Do you still support them, despite your time with Schalke and Bayern?
No, I mean, Schalke, Dortmund is probably one of the biggest rivals, in world football. And I grew up in a small city. It's called Waltrop. It's just 15 minutes away from Signal Iduna Park in Dortmund. So everyone in this city was supporting Dortmund at the time. And I mean, I told this story before already, but when I was 12 and I played in those state national teams, and I got offers from all the Bundesliga clubs in the west of Germany, just from Borussia Dortmund not. And I was speaking with the other clubs, and I met with Schalke, and once the youth director from Schalke came to our apartment and he saw everything black and yellow, he thought that would probably hard for them to convince me. And I spoke with him a year ago, and he said that was probably one of his toughest jobs to convince me to sign for Schalke. And then I just decided to play for Schalke then when I was 12. And one day after I gave them my word to sign, the director of Borussia Dortmund called my mom and told me that they were interested to sign me. And I was so sad, and I cried, and I said, "Now I want to play for Borussia Dortmund because that's my favorite club, and I'm a big supporter." But my mom said, "Yeah, no, you have to stand for your word, and you told them you're gonna sign for Schalke. So if you don't like it there, you can always go and sign for Borussia Dortmund." And yeah, at the end of the day, it was the right decision, and it didn't take me long to forget about my relationship with Dortmund and becoming a big Schalke supporter.
Well, you've played your best football in blue anyway, so whether it be a darker shade of Schalke or the lighter shade of Sydney. But during your time in Australia, who's the best player you've played with?
I mean, we have, especially at Sydney, we have had lots of very good players. Adam Lafondre, probably one of the best goal scorers I've played with. Even Costa Barbarossos is a very good player. Ninko for sure, but even Luke Bretton or Ryan Grant, who played with me on the right side in most of the games. I think we had really some good link-up plays, and there were lots of good players around me, especially in my time at Sydney.
And what about your favourite place in Sydney? When you're away from the football field and the training pitch, is there somewhere, when it's not locked down and we can go beyond 5 kilometres, is there somewhere in Sydney that yourself and the wife and the kids like to go to, a restaurant or somewhere?
Yeah, special? I mean, there's many nice places, I must say, and this is why we plan to live here after my career. I mean, Sydney for me is the best city in the world, and there are so many nice places. I mean, we live in the city, so not too close to the beach, but every time we go to the beach, I'm really enjoying it. And there's not one a certain place that I would say is my favorite place, but living in the city and every day I'm driving over the Harbour Bridge and seeing the Opera House, and this always still makes me very happy, even if it's just even if I'm 3 years here now.
Yeah,
too much more to discover as well.
Especially now. I mean, the problem is the lockdown, but now I have so much time, and I would love to see more stuff, do more things that I couldn't do when we were during the season.
Yeah, exactly. Very bad timing. This one comes from John, and he you've already answered a couple of his questions, but have you mentioned before Thomas Breutsch, being successful and coming here before. Have you passed on that advice to any German players? Do many reach out to you and ask about the league, and any of them tempted by coming here?
Yeah, there are some players after me that came to Australia, and they reached out to me and asked me about the country, about the people, about the football and stuff. And yeah, I mean, there's not many negative things I could say. So I'm still in touch with lots of players that I played with, and everyone is obviously always asking about everything here in Australia. And there's not many bad things to say.
And another one, we've got Nick Rojas. He goes, what is something that clubs in the A-League could learn from the Bundesliga, especially how they run and go about the competition or the style of play?
Yeah, I think it's not about the clubs. I think it's more about the league. I think there are so many issues and so many things that could improve to make it more interesting for everyone. I mean, especially getting rid of the salary cap, probably having a second division, having relegation, getting prize money to win the league. I mean, I think the A-League is probably the only league in the world where you don't get anything as a club if you're successful or win trophies, apart from playing in the Asian Champions League. And also, I mean, if you're the worst team, you don't get any kind of punishment like relegation or something. So I think it would be way more interesting if there would be some changes in the league. And then obviously with that, the clubs need to improve also. And that would make the whole thing more interesting for everyone.
Our next line of questions comes from Facebook from Adam. Now, Adam asks, how did you become such a good defender?
This is Adam Lefondre.
He hasn't left his last name here.
Yeah. Adam L, I think
Adam,
it says.
Oh, it's Adam L, sorry. I thought Adam that was L. A capital I. So Adam L asks, how did you become such a good defender?
I don't know, but he should just, I mean, he was away for a long time from his family, and he was in India and then here by himself. So I would just give him the advice to spend more time with his family and not being online and in social media all the time.
He neglects his family far too much, I think. Another question from Adam says, why don't you score more goals?
Yeah, because no, this is more because I'm more someone who doesn't like that much to be in the spotlight, and I don't need to shine anymore.
Unselfish.
So I try to.
He's far more of a hog, isn't he? Yeah.
So I try to give this a little bit to the players around me, and I think especially Adam Lefondre. I think half of his goals I assisted. So if I would shoot more or score more goals, that would probably even make his goal record work. But I mean, hopefully he can finally win a golden boot. I mean, he was here for 3 years.
And he hasn't done it.
Even playing in the best team, in the best club, with the best players around him, he could never make it. And yeah, hopefully he will make it next season of the year.
He'll struggle without you, Alex. He'll struggle without you there, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more question from Adam says, who is better at NBA 2K?
Yeah, me for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, me for sure. Even, I mean, he was in India in a hotel room for like 8 months and was playing every day. But when I play against him, I still win. So that's an easy one.
Very good. And thank you to Adam L for those questions. Just a couple more, Alex, before we let you go. Got a question here from Mariam Chakir. Actually, she you guys met, I think, at the Human Race Adidas jersey launch at Ultra
Football.
Yeah, she would have been wearing
everything Germany. She's obsessed with German football, German jersey, Bayern Munich.
Yeah, good taste. That's
a her favorite, her celebrity crush. a very strange obsession.
So she wanted to know what are your go-to boots and why. I think she said she saw you in a pair of Coppers, but she wasn't sure if that was your boot choice always.
I mean, lately I always played with Adidas, and lately they are more producing shoes with artificial leather, not like kangaroo leather, and I always love to play in proper leather boots, and they have to be white. I played my whole career in white boots. I still had some from my time back in Germany. And this is why she probably saw me in those boots. But yeah, I love to play in white leather boots.
Okay, very good. Opposite to Ninko, I noticed Ninko said during the week that he wears anything but white.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has a different taste, but I love to play in white boots, and has to be leather.
Has to be leather. Very good. Very good. All right. From another Alex, actually, nicknamed Chili. Alex, this is a very important question. Very important question, Alex. So he said, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck So a duck as big as a horse,
mm-hmm.
or 100 duck-sized horses. Who would you rather fight?
I think 100 duck-sized horses.
Ooh.
Because I know, I would say probably one. What a stupid question is that?
What about, what about one Michael Zulo sized horse?
Yeah, I would say one duck in the size of a horse, because okay. she would probably not be as quick as 100 duck size, and I would just run away and couldn't get me. So
nice. All right, Sean, I'll let you.
Last few quick fire ones, Alex. During your time at Sydney FC, who was the most annoying?
Ryan McGowan.
Yeah, he thinks he's really funny, but you know.
Sometimes he's funny, but sometimes it just gets annoying.
Okay. Well, who was the funniest? Like genuinely funny.
I would probably say Luke Breton.
Yeah. Who was the most talented?
Me.
Yes. Good answer.
And during the training sessions, like who was really hard to train against? It was a real pain in the ass to train against.
Ryan Grant.
Yeah. Just the energizer button just keeps going. Like.
Yeah, he's just always 150%, even in training sessions, and he. Even tackled me and fouled me sometimes in training.
Just got to pull back on that. Yeah,
but he's a good friend of mine. I love him. I never took it personal. But yeah, he's probably the one that was most annoying during the training sessions.
Fantastic. Well, Alex, mate, thanks so much for giving us some of your time tonight. We really do appreciate it on Sky Blue Stories. And I will try and say vielen Dank. My German's not very good, but
not
I
bad.
Wanted to say bitte. I wanted to say that. And mate, look, we wish you, from Sean and I and our Sky Blue Stories listeners, you know, everyone's just waiting to see what you do next. And you know, we hope for our sake that you do end up staying in Australia. And but if not, when you return with the family, we'll have to make sure we catch up when you get back.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.